is being persecuted from without. Christians are being imprisoned, sent to slave labor camps, tortured, starved. But in America, he said, we don't see this kind of persecution. But the churches are failing in America. He said, it's coming from within. And then he began to preach a message that just literally broke my heart. He began to preach on sheep in wolves' clothing and how that we can tear down a church from within. I cried out. I said, oh God, please, don't ever allow me to be a sheep in wolf's clothing. Don't. Huh? I'm a sheep. I'm saved. Don't ever let me.
Given the title, you gave it back.
Oh, okay, all right. But I said, don't ever let me be a sheep in wolf's clothing, stopping the work of Almighty God in the church. And you know, that's going to be my prayer from now on. Lord, please, don't let me stop your work. Let your work triumph in the churches across America. You know, it's important that we get back to doing what God has called the church to do. There are people all around this church, good people, honest people, that are not right with the Lord. And when they die, they're going to face the judgment of eternal hell. That ought to break our hearts. Now, that has nothing to do with my message tonight, but I just thought I'd throw that in. It's important that we reach the lost. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 69. Now Peter sat without of the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was going out unto the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto him that were there, that this fellow is also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said unto Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out, and he wept bitterly. Heavenly Father, we come before the altar this evening. We first of all, Lord, we ask for our dear sister Helen. I'm asking, Father, that right now you will comfort her. Help the doctors, the nurses, to know exactly what to do to help to eliminate this problem that she has. Be with our dear brother, Garland, as he's in the hospital, and I'm sure that he's worried about his dear wife. Comfort them both, Lord, as only you can do during this time. And now, Father, as we break your word this evening, I pray, Father God, that the Holy Spirit might move through this service this evening. Let the words be said that you once said. And may the Holy Spirit use those words to pierce our hearts that we might be what you want us to be. We ask in the name of Jesus, and amen. You know, there was a flock of ducks flying over, and this one duck looked down. He saw this farmer out there casting some grain to his pet ducks, his pet geese, and some of the chickens. And this duck thought, you know, I'm just thinking, well, go down there and kind of investigate a little bit. So he did. He flew down. He saw this was pretty good living. He said, I might just spend a couple days here. Couple days, ended up a couple weeks. Couple weeks, ended up a couple months. Before long, it was fall, and he looked up, and he saw a flock of ducks flying over. And he said, you know, maybe I better join my friends up there. So he began to fly and flap them wings, and he was a little too weak. He got about as high as the eastbound on the barn and realized he couldn't make it. He couldn't soar as he once did. He couldn't soar as he was created to do. Now I know that's just a story. But is it my story? Is it your story? You know, we all go through a time when we act like the prodigal son. We leave the Father's house. But if we have truly been born again, washed in the precious blood of Christ, we can't stay there. We're not comfortable there. We have to get back to what God wants us to be. So, in our text today, we're presented with a man who puts the story of this duck, this complacent duck, into human shoe leather. And that's the Apostle Peter. Our text finds him in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing with the wrong people. Simon Peter. How did he get there? Well, let me tell you this. It didn't just happen. This is backsliding. And backsliding doesn't just happen. It's a, over time, maybe one area begins to slip, and then another area begins to slip. And this is what happened with Simon Peter. First, he left one area slip, and then another. And we're going to look at that tonight. Perhaps someone here tonight is like Simon Peter. You've allowed your heart to go cold. And God warns about that in Scripture. In fact, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, I think it is, Jesus even warns, you have left your first love. Remember how it was when you first received Christ Jesus as your Savior? You couldn't wait to go out and tell somebody what had happened to you. You shared your faith with everyone. Your life changed. You remember? You remember how you fell in love with Jesus? How you spent time in prayer with Him? Whew. But sometimes we allow our hearts to grow cold. The things of God are not as glorious as they used to be. Our light for Christ does not shine like it once did. Maybe we even wonder how it happened. And is there any restoration? Well, in our message today, we're going to look at Simon Peter. He was a called out man. He was a fisherman of men, called by Christ. He ends up finding himself in a place that he shouldn't have been. Warming himself by a fire where he should have never been. The bottom of the ladder. But thank God he didn't stay there. Thank God he came back to Christ. Don't get me wrong, he didn't lose his salvation. But he forgot his calling. He forgot what Jesus had called him to do. And in our story today, he goes from the bottom to a mountaintop experience with Christ. So, we've looked at Peter's faith, or let's look at Peter's faith. You know, Peter's conversion, he had a personal encounter with Christ Jesus. And you know, that's what it takes for salvation, a personal encounter. It's not just saying some words. It's not joining a church or following in believers' baptism. Folks, it is a personal relationship with Christ. And without a personal relationship in Christ, you are not saved. And Peter experienced a personal encounter with Christ. In 1 John 5:12, it says, "He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life." It's clear cut. It's Christ or nothing. In Acts 16:31, it says, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Folks, this belief is a heart belief. This belief is a personal relationship with Christ Jesus. So, let's look at Peter's confession. He had settled in his heart who Christ is. People today are not doing that. The Bible says that we're sinners. We're born with that wicked, sinful nature, and there's nothing we can do about it. And we're on our way to hell without hope outside of Christ. And once we realize what the Bible says about each one of us, we're separated from God, we're enemies of God, and we're on our way to hell. And the Bible says that we must repent of our sin and turn to Christ and accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior. Peter realized in his heart just exactly who Jesus Christ was. The Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he put his faith and trust in Jesus. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was everything that he claimed to be. And that's important to salvation. I've seen too many people just, you want to go to heaven? Yeah, just pray this prayer and you'll be okay. No, you won't. You've got to take your belief from your head to your heart. It has to become personal with you. He has to become a personal God. You have to receive Him into your heart. That's being born from above. But anyways, Simon Peter realized exactly who he was. Let's look at his conversion. He knew and he accepted the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The last I heard was, it was something like 52% of evangelicals believe that there's other than one way to heaven. Folks, there is one way to heaven. Period. You come through Christ, or you will not make it to heaven. Peter had already decided in his heart who Jesus was, and he accepted Him. So, Peter's consecration. You know, Peter was numbered, he was blessed, and he was set among the 12 apostles. He had a place of honor. He had a place of power. He was a dedicated soldier for Christ. And he fell. There's no doubt in my mind, or anybody else's, Simon Peter was truly born again. But how did he find himself at the wrong place with the wrong people doing the wrong things, warming himself at the enemy's fire? And if it happened to Simon Peter, can it happen to us? What did he do? The first thing that I noticed in the scriptures that Simon Peter did, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus Christ took his disciples and he took them aside and he told them, I must go into Jerusalem. And there I will be arrested. And I'm going to be put to death. And Simon Peter says, no, Lord, no, no. We can't allow this to happen. That's why he was born, folks. He was born to die on the cross of Calvary. That's his first mistake. He took the truth of Christ and he changed it to the truth of Simon Peter. No, Lord, we can't let this happen to you. The second thing that he did, he said, I don't care what the other disciples do. As for me, I will follow you, Lord. I will follow you to prison. I will follow you to death if need be. But Lord, I will be beside you. Jesus said, no, you won't, Simon. Before the rooster crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times. Once again, Simon Peter thought he knew more than Jesus Christ, his Savior. I don't care, Lord. I will follow you. I will. It's not a question of I or you. It's a question of Jesus. Don't let me, Father, please, don't let me betray your son, Jesus. That ought to be our prayer. We don't know what tomorrow holds. This ought to be every one of our prayers. Lord Jesus, don't let me betray my Savior. In both of these instances, Peter heard exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ said, but he rejected the truth of Christ and he replaced it with the truth of his own thinking. That's wrong. When he opened his mouth, the rebellion of his heart began to come out. We're going to look at Simon Peter. First he fell asleep. Then he followed afar off. And then he worshipped around the wrong fire. Peter found out that if you regard iniquity in your heart, you're going to start sliding away from Jesus. You won't be walking close to his side. So he fell asleep. He followed afar off. And he worshipped around the wrong fire. At an hour when the Lord Jesus Christ needed Simon Peter the most, he fell asleep. Simon, can you pray with me for just 1 hour? And Simon could not even pray with the Lord Jesus for 1 hour. He fell asleep. And after that event, Peter was seen following Jesus to the judgment hall afar off. He said, Lord, I will never leave your side. I will go to prison for you. I will even die for you, Lord. But now when Jesus Christ is arrested, he follows afar off. Again, Lord, please, help me stay beside my Jesus. Don't let me follow him afar off. So he fell asleep when Jesus needed him. He He followed afar off when Jesus needed him. And then he was enjoying the fires of the enemies of Christ, and he was speaking their language. Then he denies the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who bought his soul out of the pits of hell. He denied him. How this must have grieved our Lord Jesus Christ. How does our lives match up today? Are we grieving Christ? Are we doing what he wants us to do? Are we serving the way he wants us to serve? Or are we grieving our Savior? But you know what? In our churches today, we have seen this repeated over and over and over again. Those who we thought sure were strong Christians and would follow the Lord no matter where he led, begins to follow Jesus from afar. Has it ever happened to us? Perhaps there was a time in our lives when we walked a little closer to Jesus than we do now. Was there a time when his word was more precious than it is now? Was there a time when minutes spent with him in prayer was like precious pearl? Yet there came a day when it was easier to sleep than it is to pray. Have you ever been there? I have. Have you? A little slumber, a little sleep. It's so easy. I can hear Jesus say, "Can't you pray with me for just 1 hour?" Yet there came a day when it was easier to sleep than to pray. There came a time when slumber was preferred over studying God's word. There came a time when a little folding of the hands was preferred over time spent in his presence, over time spent in prayer, over time spent in his church services. When this happens, our lives no longer feel the presence as it once did. I remember when I first gave my heart to Jesus, just being in his presence was everything. Just spending time in God's presence in prayer meant so much. Just coming home and spending time in God's word meant so much. But it seems like it comes a time when other things begin to replace that. If that's the case, we're backslidden. So when we find ourselves walking afar off, rather than walking by his side, we are backslidden. Perhaps we find ourselves in fellowship around the wrong fires and enjoying the company of the wrong people. I want you to understand me tonight. We seem to have the idea in our churches that in order to commit sin, you must commit murder, you must commit adultery, you must lie, you must cheat, you must drink. But that's not true. In order to bring sin into your life, all you need to do is let your heart grow cold on God. All we need to do is let a little slackness and a little coldness reside in our hearts. And it's so easy to do. Peter fell in his ways. He forsook his personal Savior, Jesus. He forsook his place of service. He was called to be a fisherman of men. And if you know the scriptures, after Jesus Christ was crucified, Simon Peter and the other disciples decided they was going back to the Sea of Galilee and start fishing for fish again. They'd left their calling. Come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And now they said, I go a-fishing. And the other disciples went with them. He just simply left his calling. He stopped doing what Jesus called him to do. How many times do we, as his children, stop doing what he's called us to do? As best I can understand when I read the scriptures, Simon Peter turned his back on the Lord, went back to his old lifestyle as if nothing happened, and he thought he was okay with God. You know, sin blinds us to the truth. Sin blinds us to who we are, where we are, and what we're doing. And I'm sure that Simon Peter, during this time, thought that he was okay with God until the rooster crowed. What's it going to take to wake up the churches in America today? We have the same God. We have the same Savior. We have the same commission. What is it going to take to wake us up? Perhaps some of us here are following in Simon Peter's footsteps. Maybe you say, well, I really haven't abandoned the Lord. I really haven't. Well, my friends, again I say, if there was a time when you walked closer to the Lord than you are walking now, you have backslidden on the Lord. So let's get real honest here for just a moment. I asked you personally, was there a time when you walked closer to the Lord than you are walking now? Am I? You know, when I put this message together, I was looking at me. Am I walking as close to the Lord as I once was? I don't think so. Was there a time when his house, the church, or his word, or his presence meant more to me than it does now? Was there a time when I lived closer to the Lord Jesus Christ than I live now? If there's a yes answer to any of them, we are in a backslidden condition. I need to change. Do you? As I looked at the story of Simon Peter, I realized that it is so easy to stumble. How do I know? I have been there, and so have you. When we stop serving God in positions that we agree to fulfill, our hearts are not right with God. When we stop supporting the church in our attendance, in our prayers, in our giving, our hearts are not right with God. When we stop attending the church services, our hearts are not right with God. When we lose the passion for lost souls, our hearts are not right with God. We need to get back to God and start doing what He's called us to do. Peter's forgiveness. You know, I'm so glad this story doesn't end with Peter standing around the fire, warming himself by the enemy's fire. Don't stop there. He got a wake-up call from a rooster. When the rooster crowed, the words of Jesus came back to his mind and his heart. And it says he went out and he wept bitterly. Again, I am just as guilty as so many other people. I remember years ago when the altars used to be filled with God's children praying and begging God and pleading with God to win their souls, to win their family, to win their friends, to heal the sick. Altars are hardly used anymore. Don't you miss it? Don't you miss it? Don't you miss it?
Amen.
I do. I have seen church services that they couldn't end the service because it just kept going on and on because God was moving and things were happening at the altars. We don't see that anymore. That should bother us. Anyways, Simon Peter, he heard the rooster crow. He went out and he wept bitterly. You know, when we entertain sin in our lives, it impacts the family. It impacts the church. It impacts the community. Besides that, it grieves the Lord Jesus Christ. What we need today, more than anything else in our churches across America, it's for God's people to get their hearts right with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sin should trouble us. Our lack of desire for spiritual things should trouble our hearts. We need to get right with God. There's no reason in the world why this church right here couldn't begin to grow and start winning the lost and carrying out the great commission that God has given us. The only reason it's not going forward is because we don't want it enough. Can you just picture for just a moment in your mind what it would be to see this church becoming the lighthouse in St. Mary's, where people knew that this could be the place where they could come and get an answer to their problems. This could be the place where a marriage could come and get right with God. This could be a place where a drug addict could come and get right with God, or an alcoholic could come and get right with God. Can you picture this in your mind, what this church could become if we allowed God to do it? Or am I the only one with a vision here? Let me hear an amen. Something. Anyways, Peter's revival. Folks, he ended up on the bottom. He ended up on the bottom. But God raised him up to the top. His heart got revived. Not many days after that event, Simon Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, preached the message, and over 3,000 people was added to the church. Folks, that's power. And there's no reason why it couldn't happen here. What I'm saying to you today is, we do not have to walk afar off from Jesus. We can walk right beside Him. He's ready. He's willing. And He's able. He can do it with this group of people right here. Back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. And that's where we close. Jesus said, "You have left your first love." That bothers me personally. Lord Jesus, have I left my first love? Didn't lose it, but have I left it? I promise you, if someone has left, it has not been Jesus. If I am not experiencing the love that I had for Jesus like I once did, I am the one that is left. Let's make this the prayer of this church. Lord, forgive us, cleanse us, and revive us, and make us into what You want us to become. Brother Don. Thank you.